Amen. Luke chapter 15 tonight, familiar passage. I want to bring greetings from Wildwood Baptist Church in Oshkosh. I was the youth pastor there. I got saved in 1969, and by our church at the time was running around 30 people, and we grew to 40. And when you got crowds like that, you have to have staff. And so I became the youth pastor there. I actually went to college for mechanical engineering and born and raised on a dairy farm there in Amarillo. And I still live on that farm. It's been in our family since 10 years before the Civil War. I know some of you were there at the time. And I got saved in 69 and became the youth pastor in 1971. And for 17 years served as the youth pastor at our church. And then from 1988 until this year was the senior pastor. And now our assistant pastor, Pastor Jason Brennan, still has taken the church. And I'm still part-time on staff as the missions pastor. And missions is my passion. And what I've been doing is traveling. The new pastor said, look, when the Bears get a new coach, they don't ask the old coach to come back and do every other game. And so he said, I want you gone every Sunday, but I want you here every Monday. And so we have a great relationship. He pastors my wife and children and grandchildren, and the church has continued to grow. Five families have joined just since February, and he's a great preacher. The people are swinging from the chandeliers, I'm telling you. It's different now. No, not really. But I'm just saying, I'm so thankful to be able to go out and travel, and quite honestly, we really miss the Whittingtons. They're dear, dear folks in our church hearts, and so for me, it was an honor to be able to come down here and see them. We'll go get a little bite to eat afterwards. And wow, it's been kind of neat. I've had a privilege of booking meetings, but in the month of October, I'm preaching somewhere every single day. And then at the end of October, I go to Puerto Rico to preach at a national pastors conference. Now, my wife doesn't travel with me all the time. She's the church secretary a few days a week. And so if I'm gone extended times, why, she doesn't travel with me. And I said to her, honey, would you book my flight for Puerto Rico? And she said, sure, I'll do that. She called me the next day and said, well, Randy, you know, you're going to be there preaching Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all day seminars for those national pastors. Then on Sunday, you're preaching. And so I know you were busy. And so I didn't book you to come back until the next Wednesday. You can spend a couple extra days there. I said, Lori, I'm going to be gone 35 days. And you just extended my stay? So I called the pastor. He'll be counseling with her and me when I get back. But we've been married 40 years. We have six children. And it's remarkable. You can have a retarded son-in-law and perfect grandchildren. It's a miracle of God that but we have 13 precious grandchildren and a family reunion Friday and Saturday, so I drive back tomorrow, and I'm excited about seeing our family again. And we have admired your pastor and this church for years and appreciate some of the books he's written. They've been a help to our ministry, and of course his reputation precedes him in other parts of the country as he's been able to go out. And so I'm just privileged to be here. But do you believe that you could learn something from a passage of Scripture that you might have read once or twice before? I mean, I'm one of those. Now, especially at my age, I've forgotten more than I know. But I can't. Is there any Minnesota Viking fans here? I understand I can't tell bear jokes, and so Packer. We tell Packer jokes too, but the difference between a Minnesota Viking and the car in the junkyard, the car at least has a title. It's brutal. It's brutal. I know. You know, the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin early in chapter 15, and you know that there were murmurings in the beginning of chapter 15, the Pharisees and the scribes, and you'll notice that at the end of each of these sections, he said there was joy when they found the coin, and there was joy when they found the sheep, and there was joy when they found the lost son. And so in the big bracket, it's surely one of the themes of this chapter that God wants us to have joy and to see the bright things. People say, well, I'll bet you were really burned out and wasted after 42 years in the ministry. And I always said, look, God gave us enough challenges to keep us humble and enough blessings to keep us encouraged. The ministry just has that. Wow, if you love people at all and invest in people, why, you're going to go through the ups and downs with them. And so we surely understand that. But tonight, I'm so glad the young people are here, and this is so much like our church. Good standards, good music, a Christian school, and care about the holiness of God. You love people and get them where they're at and reach them wherever you can, but then help get them to where they ought to be in Christ, and I love it. I love being here. But I'm hoping that tonight the young people could especially hear this. It's been our experience there at Wildwood. We're like this. We have a mix of people with white hair and some experience. We have young families and children. And I know that a lot of the young families, as they're in the nest building years, they're doing all they can to take care of their bills and have a home and take care of school tuition and all that stuff. But when the older folks in the church believe that the church is in good hands and the young families are embracing sound doctrine and godly standards, they're more than happy to help with the finances for the future. They believe it's in good hands and under good leadership, and what a wonderful blessing that is. I'm interested in the next generation. And when people talk about this account being of the prodigal son, I say, no, it is not the story of the prodigal son. It's a story of a heavenly father who had two sons. And I mentioned I have six children and 13 grandchildren. And wow, you don't get to be old without having some challenges in those realms. How many would agree with me that even in the very best of families, it takes the grace of God to succeed with your children? You need God's help for it. And there's two sons, and you're familiar with the text, but we'll read it again, and then let's talk about a few things. And I especially, again, want the young people to hear. Verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Is it your custom to stand when we read the Bible? We do it. We do it too. Would you stand with me, please? And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, and that's a wonderful phrase right there, he said, how many hired servants have my father of bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And arose. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned, and those are wonderful words too. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. And then together aloud the rest of the verse. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures. Now, Lord, help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word. Help it, Lord, to be a real encouragement to each one that's here. Lord, every dad, every mom, every grandpa, every grandma wants their children to make godly, right choices. And yet, Lord, as so often the case, you can have good parenting and prayer and love and still have children make wrong choices. Lord, help us to succeed with them as they go through some of the difficulties, challenges, and failures in their lives. Help us to learn from this Father, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Most of you know that it was really pretty important when this father had two sons. In the Old Testament Israel economy, the oldest son got a double portion of the inheritance. And so you have here a story of two sons. One, the younger son, and I'll just use this side, say it's the younger son. I don't want to pick one of these handsome guys over here, but just imagine the younger son over on this side. And by the description, he's selfish, he's indulgent, he's short-sighted, he's carnal, he is demanding the portion of the inheritance before the dad's even dead. And wow, you would say, that guy, I mean, he took it, and the Bible says he wasted it all on riotous living. Later on in the chapter, it says he's wasted on harlots. You know, when you have money, you have lots of friends. When you run off in the world, everybody's your buddy. They'll tell you how wonderful you are, how smart you are, how clever you are, how wonderful you are. Until you're broke. Boy, that's an important lesson. That's an important lesson. The Bible says the rich hath many friends, but the poor uses entreaties. And then, of course, I suppose it's not lost on you that this Jew boy who's been absolutely forbidden to have anything to do with pigs ends up in the hog pen feeding swine. I mean, wow, if you can't get much lower than a snake's belly in a wagon wheel rut. I mean, here he is. I mean, he is just at the bottom. And then we would look and say, there is a boy that was sinful. And boy, he was being taught a lesson, and he was going through the grinding crucible of what you get when you live in the flesh. But I want you to observe something here, and that is the first thing, young people especially, if you're going to go the way of the flesh, the way of the world, if you're going to go do your own thing, don't expect the Father to go with you. Don't expect the Father to go with you. He is not going where you're going. That's not what he wants for you. I think it's so important for young people to understand, when you do this, you take a trail, you chart a course, you go the way of the world, don't expect the blessing and the presence and the promise of the Father when you do it. You left that. You left that. The Bible says he came to himself. I always just ask, how big a hammer would it take to get you to straighten out? We know the wonderful part of the story. The boy came back, but he carried some scars that would be with him for life. Break the vase! You can get it back and you can glue the pieces together, but everybody knows it's marred. It can be used in a measure, but it's not like it was. It's not what God intended. It's not what he wanted. You say, well, God will forgive anything. Yeah, that's true. But don't be presumptuous upon that. He forgives. I've got written in front of my Bible, and I think it's an important concept for us all to have. God shows mercy when he can. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. He shows mercy when he can, judgment only when he must. God would rather show mercy. He is long-suffering. He is patient. He is loving. But he shows judgment when he must. He's still a righteous God, a holy God, a just God. And sin is punished. The Bible says, if be without chastening, you're a bastard and not a son. If you're really a child of God and you go off in the world, mark it down, you're going to have scars and regrets that are with you the rest of your life. Memories that soil and contaminate your ability to be pure for the Lord. If you're going to go the way of the world, mark it down, the Father doesn't go with you. And then the Bible says, he came to himself. He came to himself. And that's kind of a wonderful thing. When somebody out in sin runs to the end of the race, gets to the end of their course, has nowhere else to turn, and finally turns back to God and says, I'm going to return to my Father. That's a wonderful thing. I am for repentance. I believe God can forgive anything. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for the depth of his mercy. But young people, in the same truth that says, when you go off in the world, the Father doesn't go with you, it's also true to say, when you come back, you can't bring the pigs with you. You don't get to bring the pigs with you. When you come back without all that stuff. Real repentance means, I'm not expecting God to accept the hog pen. I'm not expecting to be able to bring all the habits, all of the diseases, everything else that I got over there, and expect God to think that's okay. You have to come back without the pigs. If you have to choose, am I going to be with the Lord or am I going to be with the pigs? When you go, the Father doesn't go with you. And when you come back, you can't bring the pigs with you. Now you say, whoa, that's, everybody knows that. You'd be surprised how many people don't know that. But I want to talk to the parents because I think this is a much broader, deeper truth than just what we say to the younger son. He had all of the sins of the flesh. all the outward things. All of his scars are known. All of his failures are known. He's shamed himself. He's shamed his family. Everybody knows a horrible reputation. He comes back, and the guy that was proud and arrogant marching away comes slumbering back, shuffling his feet, ashamed, embarrassed, wondering if he could be accepted. I think it's wonderful to note that the Bible says when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran to him and met him and hugged his neck, gave him the robe, the ring, the fatted calf, all of the things. And I believe there's a lot of deep truths in all of that. Never doubt that that father loved that son, prayed for that son, yearned for that son, had a fatted calf ready for when he came back. You don't have to wonder whether or not your parents love you, your pastor loves you, your church loves you. We care. But we're staying here. But we're staying here. I think it's wonderful to think of that father getting up in the morning, praying for his son, going out to the border of his property, and looking down that road that he had last seen his son walk down, and waiting, longingly, yearning, hoping to see his son. How did he see his son yet a great way off? Because his heart of hearts yearned for that boy to return. Loved that boy, longed for that boy, wanted that boy. There's something about a heavenly father and an earthly father that can know the worst truth about you and still love you. You don't have to go and hang around with a bunch of the losers. You don't have to find acceptance with the worst of the world. Well, you're so brave. You stood up against your parents. You're so smart and clever. And hey, don't become the king of the losers. So often, young people go off in the world, and here it is, the people at church telling them they're wrong, people in their family telling them it's wrong, people that were in their circle of friends kind of rejecting them and standing away from them, and I think they ought to. But they'll find acceptance at the lowest common denominator. Whoa, you only robbed one bank, we robbed three. Don't be a king of the losers. You don't have to find acceptance at the bottom of the barrel. You will be loved and accepted and treasured. We can know the worst truth about you and still love you. But when you come back, you can't bring the pigs. When you come back. But we talk about him like he's the only one in the story, and over here on this side is the older son. Now listen, firstborn children are wonderful. My oldest son is a pastor. He's been faithful to God his whole life. It's wonderful to know he's in the ministry and all of that. But a lot of times, people who have a good exterior have some other battles that are on the inside. And there's a whole category of sins that don't show up on the outside. If these are fleshly sins, they're spiritual and inside sins that are sometimes seething below the surface that very few people see or know or understand. And this oldest son wasn't everything in a bowl of cherries. Listen. The account that we read, you can see all the inside sins in that boy. He was angry. He was bitter. He was unforgiving. He was jealous. Oh, it didn't show up like the stink of a hog pen, but it was just as much sinful and wrong. And this story isn't about the prodigal son. It's about a father had two sons. Don't you want to succeed with both your kids? Right? Don't you want to, hey, anybody that's raised children, listen, my six children, sometimes I wonder if they had the same parents, don't you? I mean, I watched them come out, but it's still, you just wonder. I know a lot of it comes from her side of the family. I know. I'll never forget driving down the road, and my youngest son says, we saw this big cabin cruiser boat, and he said, "Why can we buy that boat?" I said, "No, we don't have the money for that." "Why not? Other people have boats. How come we don't have a boat?" And I told him, I said, "We were going to get a boat, but instead we decided to have two more children." It got real quiet. And all of a sudden these two arms came around me from the seat behind, and he hugged my neck and he said, "Thanks for not buying a boat, Dad." But from time to time, Laurie and I talk about maybe we should have stopped at three or two. They drive you nuts. He's angry. He would not come in. He said, "What is all the hullabaloo going on down there at the house?" The same father that didn't chase after the boy with the sins of the flesh. Read it. He went out to this son. The Bible says he went out to him and entreated him. Now listen, this is the essence of the chapter. You can't deal with every child alike. And just as surely as the one who's in the flesh and carnal and running away, you don't do any good going out chasing them. They've got to come to themselves. But there are times, and there are circumstances, and there are children who have a whole nother kind of sin and a whole nother kind of problem that maybe everybody else doesn't see, but you need to go and entreat them. And you need to take the initiative. And you need to go out and reason with them. "Son, there is no reasoning. Son," I often think of a guy making a little boat. And he crafts the boat and he puts it in the edge of the pond. And boy, he sees, and wow, it tilts to the right or to the left. And he brings it back and he adjusts it. And then he puts it out in the pond and it tilts to the right or to the left, does a little listing, and he takes it back and he adjusts it and he puts it out in the pond, but a puff of wind comes and takes it out beyond his reach. And it's kind of a helpless feeling when a child goes from control to counsel, when you can't spank them no more and you can't quite reach them no more. And I've seen parent after parent after parent pick up a rock and try to throw it past the boat to make the waves bring the boat back into shore. But what they say and what they do lands short of the boat and drives them farther away. or hits the boat and damages it worse than what it was hit before. The parent wanted to do right, was trying to do right, but the thing they said, the thing they did, actually drove the child farther away. You ever know anybody like that? It's tragic, but it happens. Don't ever wonder about the intent and the purpose and the desire and the love of that parent. But unfortunately, we don't always do just exactly right in every situation. I'm pleading for you, just God, help me as a parent, help me as a grandparent succeed with each of my children, no matter what the circumstance is. We have a clear demonstration here in the passage. The one that was carnal, fleshly, on the exterior, all about self. You got to let him go sometimes. That's hard. That is hard. But they sometimes won't learn a lesson any other way. Experience is the best teacher. If you're too stupid to listen to anybody else. But the same chapter, the same account, this father had two sons. And this one, sins of the spirit, bitter, angry, seething on the inside, unforgiving. Has a violated sense of equity and justice. It's not fair. Does he need to be dealt with? Is it okay for him to harbor those feelings? Is it right for, is he justified in that kind of behavior? Absolutely not. It's just as wrong. You say, well, everybody doesn't see it. It's not quite as embarrassing for our family. It's just as wrong. But this time, the father didn't sit in the house. This time, the father didn't stand at the gate. And look, this time, notice what it says. Verse number 28. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Listen, Dad, you need the wisdom of God on how to deal with individual children. You need God's clear direction on when to be silent and when to speak, when to hold back and when to launch out. You're going to need God's help for this. A certain man had two sons. I believe, train up a child in the way he should go and when he's old and not depart from it. I believe that we should do everything we can to train our kids for good and for God. But wow, is it possible for somebody to be a good parent and still have a child make wrong choices? Wow, don't underestimate human volition. Don't underestimate the sinful condition of man. Don't underestimate the wicked heart. Wow, if failed kids means failed parents, then God did a lousy job with Adam and Eve. Is that because he wasn't a good parent? No. Man has a choice. I have a message I preach. Will your grandkids be Baptists? Don't you want them to embrace for themselves and teach their children so they'll embrace for themselves? You want them to succeed. I don't believe in getting a critical eye and looking down our nose at people. Almost every church has a third of the people that have children that aren't where they want them to be. We got to love them and help them and support them. There's no time for condescension and criticism. If you succeeded with all your children, it was the grace of Almighty God. Be humble enough to just say, wow, God's got to do the Holy Spirit office work in the heart. I've got to be all I ought to be, an example and in training and upbringing. But wow, we need God's help and mercy and grace for this stuff. The son says, I'm not going to go in. Now look at what the dad did. Look at the kind of things he said. Verse 29, his father came out in verse 28 and entreated him, and he answering said to his father, do you believe he should have talked back? This is the older son. This is the older son. This is the son that stayed in his house. This is the son that didn't go back. This is the son that didn't go off in the world. You know, there comes a time where you do allow your child to speak and to say what's on their heart and to hear them out and give them a fair hearing. Now, I assume he's an adult son. I'm not for back sass and letting a three-year-old tell you how to run the house. I'm reminded of the little kid that came home with all F's on his report card in third grade, and he showed it to the dad, and the dad was scowling at the report card. And the boy says, do you think that's hereditary or environmental? Kids ought to be held accountable for behavior. But I want you to notice his pleas, and the father hears him out. We have it recorded here. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You think it's possible for the kid that's doing right to get overlooked sometimes? Or taken for granted sometimes? Or for them to be less than appreciative sometimes? Or to actually be envious sometimes? Absolutely. It might not show up on the exterior, but that doesn't mean, hey, the Bible talks in Proverbs about having, you know, covered with silver dross, but having a wicked heart on the inside, it's possible. Now I want you to see this. Yet thou never gavest me a kid. What's he saying? Hey, you know, where's the praise? Where's the recognition? Where's the encouragement? You say, well, you're doing right. You know, here's the attitude of some parents. You're doing everything right. Why should I say anything? I'm reminded of the guy that got married. I told my wife I loved her at the altar. If it ever changes, I'll let her know. Wow. Even the best people need a little encouragement along the way. We have a saying in Oshkosh, if you can't give them a raise, give them a title, right? Okay, you're head usher. You're the assistant head usher. You're the associate youth pastor's designated helper Thursdays. We all appreciate a pat on the back, let's be honest. We don't live for the praise of men, but it's nice to be noted and appreciated. I believe it's right to give out awards, faithfulness awards for Sunday school teachers that taught for 20 years and that kind of stuff. You say, well, they're doing it for God. I know, don't hyper-spiritualize it. They're doing it for God, so tell them thanks. Tell them good job. I sure hope you do that around here. I want you to notice in verse 30. But as soon as this thy son, you can almost see the hissing venom coming out of this boy's mouth. But as soon as this, thy son, you know what he's doing? He's stiff-arming away the relationship. This is your kid. Now, I already told you, the oldest son is going to inherit a double portion of what the younger son did. And the younger son short-circuited what he was going to get by demanding his portion while the dad was still alive. Let's just say it was worth $500,000 when he got his portion, so he got a third of $500,000. He's off in the weeds and he's wasting it. But the older son is still there, and things are still accumulating, and the herd is still growing, and the flock is still growing, and the farm is still expanding. And he's out following. Listen, that younger son is gone and forgotten. And the boy, how long's dad going to last? Right? The older son's going to get it all. He's going to not just get two-thirds of $500,000. He's going to get the whole million all for himself. But you see, it's not just the younger son that was short-sighted. The older son, all these years I have served you. All these years I did what I was supposed to, and yet you never gave me. Hey, you're going to get it. I'm not a bit sure you're any better of a Christian than this one was. He wants his early. Now listen. When he says, when this thy son was come, you gave him the fatted calf, it just brought to the surface what had been seething down inside this boy. And you'll find that in life, God will allow circumstances, and somehow he'll reveal to you as parents some of the attitudes, some of the spirit, some of the jealousy, some of the bitterness. In even the best kids, God will allow circumstances that it'll be manifest so you can deal with it. Listen, don't think less of your kids. Love them. Help them. That's why I said, they need to know, I can know the worst truth about you and still love you. You know how I know so well about your sinful condition? Because I'm married. No, because I've been through it. I got a body of flesh hung around my soul. But for the grace of God, I'd be the same way. I need God's help to get victory over those same things myself. I call it welcoming your child into adulthood. You know why I didn't get drunk tonight? Because God's helped me. You know why I didn't get selfish and waste money? Because God helped me. You know why I'm not bitter and angry and envious and unforgiving? Because God helped me. I could be like that. We had a girl in our church who was virtually a whore. But she had attention of all the boys because she was batting her eyelashes and baring her thigh. And I asked my oldest daughter, Tara, I said, what do you think of when you see her? You know what she said? She said, I could be like her anytime I wanted to, but she can never be like me. Thank God for those that stay pure. Thank God for those that have personal sense of holiness. But I want you to notice as we get to the end, and my time is gone here, but he says, he allows him to speak, but as soon as this thy son was come, who hath devoured thy living with harlots. Listen, this boy's been thinking about this ever since the younger son left. Hey, he took your living. thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And I want you to notice there is a way that he succeeds with his son. You know, how you talk to the wayward one and how you receive him, whether everybody else understands or not, you need to express and verbalize and demonstrate your love to that child that comes back. When they come back your direction, you need to lovingly encourage and help and build them up because they've already been in the gutter. But notice the meekness, the tenderness, and the Bible uses the word he went out and entreated this son. Do you believe it's important when you have an adult child or a child, I call it welcoming him into adulthood, when they can think for themselves, they're not just little imitators, but they actually think for themselves and they can talk and express how they feel and think. He entreated him. He reasoned with his son. He says it was meat. But notice he doesn't let it go unchallenged. He says, when this thy son was come, you killed for him the fatted calf. The dad, I believe having divine wisdom, a type of our Heavenly Father, he says, look, when this thy brother was come. You know what he did? He's reminding him, look, this is our family. This is our kin. This is your brother. Like it or not, jealous or not, envious or not, critical or not, that's your brother. Sometimes in families we need to remind them, look, I'm not approving of what they did wrong, but it's still your brother. It's still your sister. Notice what he says. Son, all thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Sometimes, instead of being critical and rebuking him, this isn't the time that he needs to be scolded. This isn't the time he needs to be hollered at. This isn't the time he needs to be stiff-armed away. This is the time. The dad being perceptive, the dad understanding how he feels, the dad knowing that he's got issues that need to be dealt with, starts with the assurance, son, thou art ever with me. That's a very precious truth. And all that I have is thine. That's, I mean, you could park and talk about that. What does it mean to be in tune with the Lord, in fellowship with the Lord, joint heirs with Christ? But you know what he's saying? Kind of the unsaid thing? All that that younger brother is ever going to get, he's got already. You don't have to wonder. I gave him the ring. I gave him the robe. I gave him the party. I gave him the fatted calf. But son, you've been with me, you've been faithful, and I'm not going to give him another portion. He's got all he's going to get. Sometimes, the ones with the sins of the Spirit need to be reminded there is a reward for faithfulness. They need to be assured, I'm keeping the books. I love him. I love him like my very own soul. I welcome him. He's treasured. God bless him. He's part of our family. He's welcomed home. But when it comes to the future, I recognize your faithfulness, and I'm rewarding it with everything that I have. Sometimes a child needs to be reassured that they're appreciated. Reassured that you're keeping records. Reassured that you notice the good they've done. Children need that. Reinforce the good that they've done. Tell them how proud you are of them. But notice at the end, verse 32, it was meat or appropriate. This was the right thing to do. And notice the word we. It was meet that we should make merry. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to heal this broken relationship. He's trying to bring them back into like-mindedness. He said, look, it was meet. It was appropriate. It was right to do. Don't be critical of me. Don't be angry at him. Don't stew in your... Listen. Sometimes the older son needs to be corrected. I don't care if he does do all the right things on the outside. He can stand a little correction too. He can have an attitude adjustment too. He can see the difference between right and wrong too. He needs to come be brought up short about what he's doing that's wrong. You see, a certain father had two sons. He had two sons. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Don't ever forget, this is family. Now listen, this could apply in 100 ways for a church family as they deal with disobedient. You can't chase after them. When they come back, they can't bring the pigs back here. This applies in a family. But my plea is this. Listen, as grandparents, as parents, as young people, think of how this applies. Think of how we need to be alerted to, hey, we're not better than this. This is us. This is us. This is where we live. This is what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. Don't you want to succeed as a young person in your adult life and be faithful all the way through and claim the promise, all that he has is yours? What a wonderful truth that is. Don't you want to be warned? If you go off in the world, the Father don't go with you. If you come back, you can't bring the pigs. But most of all, don't you want to succeed? Don't you want to ask God, help me as a parent to deal successfully, to know when to stay put and when to go out, when to stay silent and when to speak. When I'm talking to them, God, give me wisdom to say the right words to get the right response from my child. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for these great, simple truths that are right here in the scriptures. Lord, I don't know these people, except I know, Lord, everyone that has a child cares and loves and wants that child to succeed. Lord, I know that there are some, might be embarrassing, might be shameful that they've got a child or more than one that's a guilty distance from God today. And Lord, they're asking for you to bring them to an end to themselves and draw them back into the fold and to be restored to right relationship with you and their family. And Lord, I pray you'd help them to know that we're in their camp and we're for them and we want them to succeed. And then, Lord, there are those that have children that have been brought back, but there's still other battles that are fought with the other children. Lord, I pray that you do an unusual work. Give supernatural, divine, godly wisdom to them to know when to entreat, when to praise, when to rebuke, when to reward, when to assure, when to encourage. Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need your help for it. We love our kids. Help them to know it in no uncertain terms, that we can know the worst truth about them and still love them. Help them not be the king of the losers. Help them, Lord, to rejoice and be back in the family. A certain man had two sons. Instruct us by your word and through your spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.